from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Coming up on Forum this morning in our opening hour, Los Gatos-based Netflix announced price increases this week of up to 60% for members who want both to stream movies and get DVDs in the mail. And the response to the price hike has been a firestorm of angry complaints, over 20,000, mostly negative, on Facebook alone. We'll discuss the price boost and its larger implications. How do you see movies at home, and how do you want to continue seeing them? And if you're a Netflix subscriber, how are you responding to the controversial price hike? We'll have a panel of experts, and we'll check in with Netflix Vice President for Corporate Communications, Steve Swayze. It's all coming up next, after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Good morning and welcome to this morning's Forum program. How do you see videos at home? If you're like some 23 million Americans, you may subscribe to Netflix, the Bay Area-based company, which continues to lead the pack in terms of options preferred by those who want to get their home movie viewing or TV shows by DVD or by streaming. Netflix offers both, though a new price plan put out this past week separates the cost of ordering DVDs from online screening and increases the cost for ongoing subscribers who have until September 1st to select a new plan by up to 60%, a price cost which will affect all new Netflix customers. Thousands of complaints have resulted from the price boost, even though we're talking in specific money terms of $6 a month. Still, 60% seems unacceptably high to many, especially in this economy. And in this opening Forum hour, we discuss the price boost and what it means for the changing landscape of the home video industry as we use this story to survey that world and what it offers. Earlier today, I spoke with Steve Swayze, Vice President of Corporate Communications for Netflix. I asked him to respond to complaints from angry customers who complain that they're getting a price hike with no improvement in service.
Well, it is an improvement in the Netflix service. Netflix, for years and years and years, has been an extremely good value as well as great convenience and selection. Netflix is still a terrific value. If you look at it, Netflix split the plans. We have now a DVD-only plan, which is an all-time low of $7.99 a month, and a streaming-only plan, which continues to be $7.99. That was launched in the U.S. in November last year. What we did was we changed a combined plan that was $9.99 for unlimited streaming and unlimited DVDs, and we split them into two plans at $7.99 each. So that is the change. We still, of course, provide unlimited streaming and unlimited DVDs on all of these. If you want both, then you'll get both of those plans at $7.99 each, which is $15.98 a month, and that is still a terrific value for unlimited streaming and unlimited DVDs by mail.
Why do you think all the angry outrage? Literally thousands of people on Facebook with very negative comments.
There is a lot of response on Facebook and then through the Netflix blog and to Netflix executives, myself included, getting a lot of calls. Some people don't like change, and some people are concerned about what they perceive as a price increase. What we're trying to convey is that this is an improvement in the Netflix service so that we can continue to provide DVDs in the way that we've been providing them for years and years and years, and grow the streaming side of the service. Netflix started streaming in 2004 with fewer than 2,000 titles, and now we have tens of thousands of titles for you to watch instantly on more than 450 devices, all the game consoles and your iPad and internet-connected TVs and many others. We wanted to be able to continue to grow the service and to continue to provide a lot of emphasis on DVD for those Americans who watch on DVD. Now, as a reminder, as Netflix expands throughout the world, we're already in Canada, we'll be launching in Latin America later this year, and ultimately to other countries around the world, it will be streaming only. So the emphasis for streaming for Netflix as a global company is a streaming service. But in the U.S., our legacy is in DVD, and we want to continue to provide the great DVD service. So we're putting more wood behind the arrow on that. And, of course, that's going to cost a little more for those who want both DVD and streaming in the United States.
Although there are some who are saying the era of DVDs is coming to an end. And yet, how much pressure really is coming to you from, say, the movie studios? I know there were over a couple hundred films that were simply put aside because of a contract problem with Sony, and a lot of money is contingent upon deals with the studios.
The reference to Sony just now is actually a contract issue between Sony and Starz. and Netflix is not a part of that, and we hope that those two valued partners does resolve that soon. That issue is about, we have movies that we license from Starz, and Starz is made up of Sony and Disney titles, and Sony and Starz are in a contract issue, and so Netflix is not able to have the Sony movies from the Starz service at this point, but we hope they resolve that soon. The issue is less about studios, because the studios are very happy with Netflix, because Netflix is writing big checks.
Well, that's what I meant, though. The cost coming up because of deals you have with Miramax and Lionsgate, a reason for the price hike? I mean, I know you said publicly this is only $6 a month, therefore it's like buying a latte, but in many people's minds, 60% is a big hike.
Well, you know, first I want to say that the latte comment was a bit insensitive and silly on my part. I was just trying to illustrate the difference between $6 a month for unlimited streaming and DVD compared with what else you can get for $6 in a month. It's still a terrific value, $15.98 a month for both unlimited streaming and unlimited DVDs. And I was trying to illustrate that what else you can get for $6 a month. And of course, that did upset and disappoint a number of people who don't buy lattes, and I understand that. It was a silly thing for me to say. But the point is, we continue to improve Netflix service. Netflix is now streaming instantly on more than 450 devices with tens of thousands of titles and add more all the time. Just yesterday, Netflix announced a renewed deal with Universal for TV shows that network provides. And we continue to add content. We have more than 47% of the box office from 2010, the movies that appeared in the box office. We have 47% of those at Netflix to watch instantly, and other services have less. So Netflix continues to add great content, continues to add more and more titles and more devices to watch them on instantly. But at the same time, we want to be able to provide the same ongoing DVD service to those who want DVD. Folks like my parents who don't want to watch instantly, they don't want to have device, they just want to get the DVD in the mail. Netflix wants to continue to improve that service, and so that is coming at a little additional cost.
Well, Wall Street says it looks good, and there's been some positive feedback from analysts, but one analyst said it's tarnished your image, and I wonder to what extent you believe that's the case, or, for example, you're going to be losing a great number of subscribers.
Well, Netflix is not surprised by the response. Netflix does nothing without testing it, without researching it, without analyzing it. So we did anticipate a certain number of members who would be disappointed and would leave the service. We're not saying what that number is yet. We will disclose that in our earnings call later. But we did expect some people to be disappointed and to leave the service. And, of course, we will welcome them back. The beauty of Netflix is it's cancel anytime. It's an open subscription. It's not a two-year contract or anything. You can join or you can cancel anytime. And we hope the folks that decide not to continue with Netflix because of the price change find that it's still a great value at $15.98 if they want both DVDs and streaming. Then they can come back anytime.
That, again, is a conversation I had earlier this morning with Steve Swayze, Vice President of Corporate Communications for Netflix. You may want to register your own responses to the rise in price with Netflix, or let us know if you're going to go to another supplier as far as your films are concerned. A lot of talk about people. I think they're up to about 50,000 comments now on Facebook going to Redbox or going to Hulu Plus or Apple TV and iTunes, Amazon Prime, other ways of getting movies at home and TV shows at home. In fact, we invite you to participate. Let us know what you think, or let us know what you think about this whole controversy. Our toll-free number is 866-733-6786, and that'll work whether you're listening to us on radio, internet, or Sirius satellite. Again, it's 866-733-6786, and you can also email us forum@kqed.org or post a question or comment on our website by going to kqed.org/forum and clicking on this segment. With us this morning to talk about this and to get even more responses and analysis are a number of experts. Farhad Manju is technology columnist with Slate. That's an online public affairs and culture magazine. And he's with us this morning locally from Palo Alto. And we welcome you to the program. Good morning.
Hi. Thanks. Good to be here.
Good to have you. Also, Michael Olson with us this morning, senior research analyst with Piper Jaffray. He has authorized numerous industry reports, including Internet Video, Field of Dreams, or Nightmare on Elm Street. Welcome, Michael Olson.
Thanks. Good morning.
Good morning. Michael Olson with us from Minneapolis. With us from New York City is Sam Grobart. He's personal technology editor for The New York Times. And welcome, Sam Grobart.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Good to have you all. And let me begin, Farhad Manju, with you. We're hearing from Steve Swayze and officially, I guess, from Netflix that this is an improvement in service. This is to grow the streaming, really de-emphasizing the price increase.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what you would expect them to say. I mean, one of the things that I thought was interesting in what he said was that, you know, they continue to believe that DVDs are kind of a big part of the U.S. business. But I think the price changes indicate is that they really want to push people away from DVDs. And I think that, you know, Netflix sees itself as, you know, the future of the company is a streaming company. And, you know, that seems right because I think that most people, you know, in the industry believe that over time more and more consumers will move to streaming. I think the price change indicates that they just want to move this faster. They want to push more people to kind of choose between streaming and DVDs. And, you know, if you look at the way the price, the new prices work, if you were getting a DVD and streaming plan before, you kind of really have to make a decision if you want to keep that DVD. Especially, I think a lot of Netflix customers, you know, might be on the DVD plan and maybe would watch one or two DVDs a month, or maybe even less. And it costs a lot more to just sort of have that option. So you can sort of, you're forced to make this decision. And I bet many people will decide, you know, I'm okay just keeping the streaming plan. So I think that's their goal here.
Michael Olson, agree? And also, do you think this is more about pushing towards streaming?
I would agree. I think the bottom line is that they're kind of trying to force a behavior here, and that behavior is to get you to streaming. And I come at it from kind of a financial nerd perspective, and I think us financial nerds, as we're clicking away in Excel, are kind of realizing that what they're doing here is essentially getting you to a plan that will either way cause it to be a more profitable plan for them, and if not more profitable, at least maintain the profitability but allow them to spend a greater amount of the revenue coming in the door on streaming content to improve that streaming library. So either way, you know, if you were on an old plan and you were getting, you know, one DVD at a time and spending you know, the $9.99 a month to get one DVD out plus unlimited streaming, and now you go to $7.99. Yes, it's less revenue in the door for Netflix, but you're actually a more profitable sub for them. Or, like I said, if not more profitable, at least allowing them to spend more on streaming content.
Sam Grobart, I had mentioned in my interview with Steve Swayze that one analyst said this will tarnish Netflix's image, and yet Wall Street is looking at this very favorably. In fact, their stock is up. How do you think it's going to affect things?
I think, you know, as we've seen, there's been significant public reaction among people who feel like this is an unreasonable increase. However, I would agree with what both Farhad and Michael were saying. I mean, there's a quote from Reed Hastings, CEO of Netflix, and he said, there's a reason we didn't call the company DVDs by mail. They've always been moving toward this streaming model. And if you, in fact, go to Netflix's website, it's very hard to even see where the DVD by mail option is. Everything is about streaming, and you have to actually go deep into the FAQ to find out any information about getting a physical disc shipped to you. So, the gentleman from Netflix said, I'm sure they anticipated this reaction, but streaming is going to be the way of the future, and this certainly accelerates that.
And I think, Farhad Manjoo, from your perspective, DVDs are going to maybe just fade away?
Yeah, I mean, I think I would be curious to see what some of your callers have to say, but I definitely notice this in my life. Like, it's just sort of much more convenient and easier to be able to choose something from Netflix's site and watch it instantly, even if the selection isn't, you know, fabulous, even if the selection isn't as great as their DVD selection. The convenience, it kind of makes up for it in convenience. And I think many people will realize that and kind of move toward that. And, you know, as the selection gets better, it just becomes then the choice between DVDs and streaming is just obvious. I mean, you can get something instantly and you don't have to wait. And I think people want that.
Well, what about the bandwidth, Michael Olson? You're the nerd, as you self-confessed. How do you see that affecting it?
Yeah, I think, you know, that could be an issue. If you look at Canada, for example, where Netflix recently launched, a lot of those managed service operators or cable operators that are providing internet are capping the bandwidth, or they're making it like a cell phone plan where you get a certain amount of bandwidth per month. And I think that we could see that transitioning to the U.S. somewhat, if not, you know, doing a certain amount of bandwidth per month, at least capping a maximum limit. And what Netflix has done in Canada to try to alleviate that pressure is they've basically created a system where you can choose to get a lower quality of video delivered to you, and that kind of helps to keep within your bandwidth constraints and you know, not have to end up paying more to your internet provider. But that's certainly going to be an issue to watch over the next few years, and as some of the, you know, internet service providers in the U.S. look to change their models a bit.
And Sam Grobart, where do you think those who are dissatisfied by this price hike or this improvement in service are going to go? Hulu has been sort of advertised as and is trying to take this as presenting themselves as the best alternative, but a lot of folks are talking about Redbox or just going to Comcast or, as I said earlier, Apple TV and iTunes. Where do you think?
Well, I mean, I think that you're raising a very interesting point here, which is that people are not going to be making the decision about Netflix in a vacuum. They do have other options. So if you were that kind of person who was getting one DVD or, you know, a couple of DVDs a month with the $9.99 plan, well, you might say, okay, I'm going to hold on to the streaming. And because the streaming library, as has already been pointed out, the library isn't that great right now, let's be honest. A lot of it is sort of what we used to call direct-to-DVD or direct-to-video movies, sort of with, like, C-list actors and stuff like that. But, you know, there's some stuff in there, and you can enjoy it if you want. And if you want sort of higher quality, more recent releases, then you can go through your own cable operators, you know, on-demand offerings, or if you have Apple TV, you can go through iTunes and do that. And then, of course, yes, you have the convenience of physical retailers like Redbox, which, you know, as you're out buying a quart of milk, you say, oh, yeah, I forgot that that movie's out right now. I'd love to watch that tonight. I think it speaks to the sort of impulse buy that people make about movies. One thing that I've always found interesting about people's use of Netflix is I hear a lot of stories of people ordering films, having the movies arrive in the mail, and then when they get them kind of going, I don't really feel like watching this right now, and it kind of sits on top of the set-top box for a while, as opposed to that feeling you have when you just sort of either click a remote control button or see a vending machine in a store.
I think you implied something also that really needs to be brought into this discussion, Sam Grobart, and that is there's a lot of anger at having to pay, in the terms of customers, for both streaming and DVDs when streaming video selection offers only a fraction of what it has available on DVD.
Yeah, I mean, that's something I've been seeing, and if you read through a lot of the comments, you know, people have been saying, you've got to improve your streaming library to, you know, so that I'm interested enough to want to pay for it. Right now, you've got thousands of movies, but it's not really thousands of movies. And Hulu, by the way, I know you had asked about that earlier, does present itself as an alternative, but remember, Hulu really has been a service for television. While they do have some movies, their selection has also been sort of middling in the way that Netflix's own streaming library at times hasn't been so spectacular.
Let me bring a caller on here who, Joe, I think you're right on point here in terms of alternatives. They're looking for alternatives. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah, basically my comment, when I received a note about the price increase, I was pretty upset about it. I considered disconnecting, even send an email to the wife saying, hey, this is a good chance to disconnect. And I considered sending him a note saying, hey, what do you guys think you're doing, so to speak. But then when I consider the alternatives, where, like, for example, I like to watch Mad Men, which is only available on DVD, where the alternative is go to Amazon and download per episode on streaming, and per episode is a couple of dollars, and each DVD has, like, three episodes on it, so that's $6 per DVD. It's $6 or $8 per DVD. And if I'm watching a couple of DVDs, that's, you know, whatever it is, $18. A month would be just to download from Amazon on the same DVDs that I'm getting on the plan, plus whatever I watch or my kids watch on the streaming. So in a way, it's what the guy from Netflix was saying is right, in that it's still a great value. It's just doubling the price in an economy like this, or maybe it's not doubling, it's 60% more. It does feel kind of like what happened with Starbucks, you know, just to relay back to that latte comment, where Starbucks came in, all the small coffee places went belly up, and then prices went to $3. So people feel a little bit more betrayed, where all the DVD places are out of business. Blockbuster came in, busted them all up, and now Netflix has come in, taking the business away from Blockbusters, and they hiked the price. And it's like when you put your faith in a global or a single entity and they turn the tables on you like this, you just feel helpless. And that's what's hurting more than the actual $5 a month, because, I mean, what is $5? Not that much, especially not in the Bay Area.
Well, Blockbuster is still another alternative. They've been acquired, of course, by the Dish Network, but $5 more than Netflix, practically non-existing streaming services, of course. And Michael Olson, I think you believe Hulu is the best alternative for subscription value, don't you?
I do, but that falls under the context of best alternatives relative to kind of the other options out there. And I think what I mean by that is there aren't really any other great alternatives right now for subscription streaming content. You know, there's a lot of a la carte alternatives. Like the caller mentioned, it's going to cost you $2 per episode of a TV show or $4 or $5 per movie. But from a subscription perspective, really the only two kind of legitimate options out there are Hulu Plus, and Hulu Plus just announced in their kind of Q2 blog that they have about 1,500 movies now, so that's significantly less than the Netflix. And then the only other real option is Amazon with their Amazon Prime subscription, which comes free with Prime. But we, a few months ago, did an analysis of the movies available on Netflix versus the movies available on Amazon's Prime subscription. And if you look at the top 100 box office movies of 2009 and 2010, Netflix had 22% of those movies available for streaming, and the Amazon Prime subscription had zero.
Again, Michael Olson, a senior research analyst with Piper Jaffray, and Farhad Manjoo, who is technology columnist with Slate. Here's a listener who writes, Farhad Manjoo, I believe that Netflix's long-term strategy is to avoid the U.S. Postal Service altogether. It was a brilliant short-term strategy to deliver data, but when you think of it, it's a ridiculous way to move ones and zeros around. This new pricing, I feel, is the first step in weaning people off the physical DVD or Blu-ray.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think one of the interesting things here is that I think Blu-ray is sort of the clear loser here. Blu-ray was sort of held up as like the you know, the next generation of DVDs, but I think I don't think people want the next generation of DVDs. I think people want, you know, the convenience of streaming. What I think is really interesting about this time in kind of the media is that all we have, you know, a ton of different choices, and I think that you know, for every person, it sort of depends on your own viewing habits. Like a service that works for me won't be great for you, because we just might have different tastes. And so I think that it's a lot more difficult these days to kind of go out and find, you know, the service that works best for you, or the combination of services. And I think, you know, over time we'll see that'll become easier, because there'll be some consolidation and the libraries will get bigger. But right now, you just kind of have to do a lot of work to figure out what's right for you.
Let me, as we're coming up on a break here, read some more of your emails and web comments. And again, you can indeed email us, forum@kqed.org, or post your question or comment on our website by going to kqed.org/forum and clicking on this segment. Sam writes, $16 is still a pretty good price for the amount of use my family makes in Netflix. The price increases are even less percentage-wise on the bigger packages. But Butler says, I've never subscribed to Netflix. My library has $2 rentals, and they buy requested DVDs, but this price hike will only further stymie Netflix's efforts at getting my business. Larry says, I'm definitely not happy about the Netflix changes, which changed my plan from $9.95 a month to $15.98 a month. I've been a loyal Netflix customer for many years, and I'm now looking for other options. I get the feeling they're raising the rates on us because there's little competition for their services, so they can charge what they want. However, what they are doing is opening the door for competition to come into the market and underbid them for the service. Hopefully, the consumers will win in the end, but I have to pay a higher rate until that competition appears. And Julian says, Netflix's streaming library is incomplete, and I believe its value depends on DVDs to fill in the holes. When the two services are decoupled, it's hard to justify the price of either. When we return, we'll hear from more of your calls and emails and web postings. We're with Farhad Manjoo from Slate, Michael Olson from Piper Jaffray, and Sam Grobart from The New York Times. This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. Bay Area-based Netflix this week announced price increases of up to 60% for members who want to both stream movies and get DVDs in the mail. And there have been a lot of comments from mostly angry subscribers flooding the social media sites ever since. And we've been getting a lot of comments here, as you might well imagine. We're going to find out what your thoughts are, because we're really sort of centering this around the question of how this announcement will influence you as consumers and, of course, influence the industry. With us from New York City is Sam Grobart. He's personal technology editor for the New York Times. Michael Olson is with us from Minneapolis. He's senior research analyst with Piper Jaffray. And Farhad Manjoo, with us locally from Palo Alto, is technology columnist for Slate. And we'll go right to more of your calls. And we'll go to a caller named Rachel. Good morning.
Good morning.
You're on the air.
Hi. So my comment was that a lot of my friends and I also have had Facebook, have had Netflix for the past 3 or 4 years now, and maybe even since they've been around, it seems like a while. And, you know, a lot of the stuff that we want to watch, we download for free from BitTorrent engines and free software, free pirated software, however you want to look at it. And I think this price hike is kind of just what a lot of us have been waiting for, to just cancel our Netflix and just, you know, suffer the inconvenience of downloading things a little more, which is not that much more inconvenient, and just be able to download things and not have to pay a monthly fee to anyone.
Yeah, how do you see pirating or inconvenient illegal activity of the sort that Rachel's describing figuring into this whole equation, Sam Grobart?
I think of pirating with video similarly as I do with music, which is to say that when you look back at when Apple's iTunes service came around, everybody acknowledges now that, you know, it's been a tremendous success. It's the largest retailer of music in the country. Convenience beats price, I think, ultimately. That is to say, convenience beats free. While many people do torrent files, it's a fairly complicated process, particularly for people who aren't, you know, terribly involved or interested in using their computers. And if you're able to offer something that is basically, you know, one click and it's yours for what people consider to be a reasonable cost, then more people are likely to move to that model than the other way. There might be some people, as the caller suggested, who will take this as an opportunity to say, well, fine, forget all that. I'm just going to go get my stuff for free. But I don't think it'll be very many people.
And I thank the caller, and we'll go right to more of your calls. Joshua, you're on the air with us. Good morning. Welcome to Forum.
Yeah, hi. I've long been a long-time Netflix user since the very beginning. I've had X amount of media that I've a lot in my budget every month, and now it's getting to the point where it's not the $6 that counts. It's the $6 from every single one of my providers. It's the $6 more for internet. It's the $6 more for my phone. It's $6 more for this and that. And what it comes down to, they're all coming to be about the same price, you know, $50 to $100 for any sort of media that you really want. And I might just go to Dish, or I might go back to Comcast, or I might go back to any of the other providers that are out there. It's not just one provider. And everyone keeps saying, oh, well, Netflix has this or that. It really doesn't. I routinely go to Redbox or Blockbuster because I have six of them within a driving location. So if I really want a new release, 9 times out of 10, Netflix doesn't have it. Blockbuster does, or Redbox does. And I go there and I get my videos. So really, it's going to come down to me most likely canceling it all, just sticking to Hulu and Amazon and Redbox and maybe Dish or Comcast. That's really what it's coming down to. And I have no problem switching between all of them.
Thank you for those remarks, Joshua. And dovetailing with that, I'm looking actually at some comments from a listener named John, who says, I'd be willing to pay more for Netflix streaming if it actually offered first-rate movies, but it doesn't. Time and again, I search for the film I want to see, only to find it is available exclusively as DVD. Start with giving me something worth paying for, then I'll cough up my $6. And you say what, Farhad Manjoo?
Well, this is kind of like a chicken and egg problem, I think. They need more DVD only. They may need more streaming only subscribers to, you know, dedicate more money to getting licenses to get better streaming movies. So I think that over time we'll definitely see, you know, a better library, and I think that's you know, part of this, the goal of this price change. The thing that the caller mentioned that I thought was interesting was Redbox. I feel like Redbox has got to be kind of one of the clear winners in this because, you know, they've been putting their vending machines all over the place, and they're everywhere now. And, you know, if you are one of those Netflix subscribers who's upset about having to pay more for DVDs now, you can skip down to the streaming plan and then, you know, just still pay, you know, $2 more to get two DVDs a month from Redbox. So I think that, you know, they are sort of probably very happy about Netflix's price.
And again, Farhad Manjoo is Slate's technology columnist. Michael Olson, a senior research analyst with Piper Jaffray. And Michael Olson, here's a listener named Surya who sends to us this via her iPhone. What disappoints me the most about price hike is that service is getting worse while the price is going up. Online selection is really bad, and 50% of the DVDs I've received in the last year have been bad, where I've had to skip few chapters.
Yeah, I guess, you know, the bottom line on, I think, kind of echoing some of the thoughts earlier, is that what Netflix has really always tried to do is get people to use the streaming for the majority of their content, hopefully with the idea that they supplement it, supplement kind of new release or other content not available on streaming through the DVD by mail component of the subscription. And now what they're saying is, we still want you to do streaming. In fact, we want you to do streaming more and as much as possible through us. And for the supplementing that you're doing, you're either A, going to have to pay more for it to do it through us, or B, look at other alternatives to kind of supplement for new release titles or other titles that aren't available on streaming. And I would definitely kind of repeat the comments that were just made about CoinStar, which is that who basically is the company that runs Redbox, is that I do think that you're going to see Redbox being a beneficiary of this. You know, with Netflix kind of saying to some of its subscribers, hey, we want you, but we don't necessarily want you for DVD by mail, they're kind of handing over a bit of a gift to companies like Redbox.
Yeah, you get a pretty new movie for a dollar from Redbox. Certainly can't beat that price. I'm not necessarily trying to tout them here, but that comparatively from a consumer standpoint looks pretty good. Sam Grobart, here's a listener named Alex who says, and we heard earlier, we should mention again, from Steve Swayze, the vice president for corporate communications with Netflix, who was saying, well, our costs are really going up and the studios are charging us a great deal. This is a listener who has some sympathy for that. Alex, he says, people just don't understand how the studios are trying to gouge Netflix on licensing fees for streaming. I think if people understood this, they'd be a bit more understanding on the price increase.
It's true. I mean, Netflix is sort of trying to manage two things. They have their customer base, and then they have their vendors, basically, the people providing them with content. And it's been a very difficult process for them. As you see right now, the limitations of the streaming library are significant, particularly when compared to DVD releases and on-demand releases through cable companies, so that movies come out, you know, in this sort of process, these various windows open, and streaming is sort of left in last place. So how do you make a more attractive deal? I mean, one thing is that you try to increase the number of people you have who are streaming, so you can go to the studios and say, look, I used to have X number, now I have 2X. And furthermore, I have more money to provide so I can get better content. And hopefully that all sort of speeds along the process.
Well, there's another listener sort of dovetailing with your remarks a bit here, Sam Grobart, named Mike, who says, doesn't the quality suffer with streaming? Isn't the company asking people to settle for an inferior product?
In terms of video quality, that isn't necessarily true. There are other smaller services, Vudu is one of them, that allows you to stream in very high quality, you know, it's sometimes even 1080p, the highest, you know, definition available, directly into your television. So that is something that is available. It does cost a little bit more, but over time, obviously, that cost will decrease.
And we are getting some positive responses where Netflix is concerned. Here's Eamon, who says, I don't know what the big deal is. Netflix would still be a great value at twice the price. People seem to have short memories. I remember having to go to a store like Blockbuster, paying a fortune per video, having limited time to watch it, and paying a late fee even when I handed movies back on time. I can't remember the last time I watched a DVD anyway, and I, for one, will be switching to the streaming-only option when the change takes effect. Let's go to more of your calls, and we'll go next to Berkeley. Andy, join us. You're on the air. Andy, are you there?
Stores.
I'm sorry?
I own two independent video stores, and we're still in business, defying gravity. Our business has actually gone up. What we find is that people have moved away from Netflix because they like to get out of the house once in a while.
Well, this could be a boom for you guys in the video store business, or a slight boom.
Phenomenal. You know, I'm the first one to concede that sooner or later my business will be gone, but right now it's doing very well. We do get new releases a month before Netflix. That's an arrangement that the studios have with all of us. That's to promote their actual sales of physical DVDs. So people that are complaining about that should go to their local video stores.
Well, Michael Olson, what do you think about the future of video stores? Let's get you on record here.
Yeah, I guess, you know, the bottom line is I think I would say two things. One is streaming is obviously, as Andy indicated, the way of the future, and he fully recognizes that. But I do think that people overestimate how quickly the DVD will die. And I think even if you listen to comments from Netflix, even though they want their subscribers to transition to streaming as quickly as possible, they'll tell you, you know, I can't remember the latest number they've said, but I think they've said that they'll be, you know, mailing DVDs to people for the next, you know, 10-plus years. And so I think that certainly the longer-term business model for video stores could be challenged, but I do think that the DVD's not dead yet, and I think that's one of the big reasons why we've seen some of the backlash here is, like I said earlier, people want to supplement the streaming content with a DVD, or at least kind of use DVD as kind of a crutch as they're transitioning to streaming. And I think that you know, in the kind of near term, Redbox and video stores will be beneficiaries of that.
And again, Michael Olson, a senior research analyst with Piper Jaffray, and has authored numerous industry reports, including Internet Video, Field of Dreams, or Nightmare on Elm Street. Which is it, by the way, Michael Olson? Field of Dreams or Nightmare on Elm Street?
I think it's a Field of Dreams.
Let me go to some more of our callers and find out what's on Paul's mind. Paul, join us. You're on the air.
Hi, I'm a longtime Netflix subscriber, and I got Apple TV, which I use almost exclusively to get Netflix. And while I don't like paying more, I would pay even more to, just as the experts are saying, to improve the content. In my case, I basically watch documentaries, and they're only available through Netflix for the most part. And so anything that's going to improve the content, expand the content, I'm willing to pay the price. And I'd also like to offer a little perspective.
Yeah.
As a 75-year-old person who watched a black and white TV with rabbit ears that we couldn't adjust often enough to keep the picture on, to go to a live streaming model through my little Apple box is nothing short of wonderful.
Thank you for that. Good perspective. And we'll get another perspective from another caller. Brian, join us. You're on.
Yeah, hi, I'm Colin from San Francisco. The comment that I have is that with DVDs, we own the media, right? So it's ours. We can say, well, this is my movie. But with Netflix, we're moving away from personal ownership and more towards collective ownership. So I think that there's a cultural relevance to that, too, and how it's sort of changing how we perceive the ownership of media versus be music or video or whatever.
Hmm. Farhad Munju, what do you think about that kind of shift that we're hearing from Brian?
Yeah, I think that's, you know, that's happening around the media landscape. I mean, it's happening in books, where instead of purchasing books, we're purchasing licenses to e-books that, you know, companies like Amazon could delete from our Kindles. We have, you know, and we're noticing that I think that what's happening is sort of a shift in our legal rights over content. And, you know, this is a huge controversy among civil libertarians and others who believe that, you know, it's going to restrict our rights and perhaps lead to censorship. I think that we'll kind of figure it out over time, but it's quite possible that, you know, in this new world, we'll simply just have fewer rights over the media than we used to.
Sam Grobart, I'm looking at an email here from a listener in Farmington Hills, Michigan, which is just outside of Detroit, who writes, my family has a cottage with no internet, and we have to be able to get DVDs if we want to watch movies there. Streaming is just not an option. What are people without internet access going to do if they want to watch movies if DVDs are eventually phased out in favor of only streaming movies?
Well, I think that's a very valid point, and it goes back to the earlier comment that, you know, the death of the DVD may be somewhat exaggerated, at least in terms of its rate of, you know, disappearance.
Or as Twain would say, a bit premature.
A bit premature indeed. And, you know, there has always been the story that you read about, you know, are people cutting the cord? Are they only getting their video, you know, through the internet? And the numbers don't really support that. You know, I think that there are still going to be a lot of people who still rely on DVD players and physical media. even though the industry will be moving toward a more digital, you know, connected future. I mean, one thing that's a little bit interesting to me here is Netflix is experiencing something right now that other media and technology industries or companies are trying to grapple with. They have a sort of a legacy business with DVDs by mail, which they still need. It's still a valuable part of the business for them, but they're trying to transition to streaming and digital. You look at a company like AOL, they still derive a great portion of their revenue from people who pay dial-up fees and internet access fees, and they're trying to move to an advertising-supported model. And even, frankly, my own employer, the New York Times, which, you know, put up a metered model some months ago, relies on print advertising, trying to generate more money from online. They have slightly different facets, but it's, again, that question of I've got this old thing and this new thing, and I'm trying to get everybody over to one side as quickly and as profitably as possible.
And I'm looking at our Facebook page. Anita, on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/KQED Forum, writes, this price increase has motivated me to lose the physical disc. I'm happy to support Netflix in order to get better streaming options. And Sam Grobart, we've been talking about alternatives to Netflix. Here's a listener who says, I found that bouncing back and forth from iTunes to Netflix works best. iTunes offers new releases online. Netflix seems to release new films on DVD only. I've also noticed that Netflix only offers some films on DVD. iTunes interface is, in my opinion, far superior to Netflix. Apple values design and content. Netflix isn't even close in the look and feel department.
Well, again, I'm going to echo what Farhad said earlier, which is that, you know, everybody's going to sort of find their own collection of services that will work for them. But it is still a little bit of a hunt. And Apple TV and iTunes have been very successful, but again, it's an a la carte system. So if you want to watch something, you're paying for it each time. And depending on what your needs are, you know, that idea of a monthly subscription with a library of content can be very useful for some people. But I think that people are going to use all of the options that are available to them, from cable TV to the internet, companies like Netflix and iTunes, potentially also adding on Redbox and so forth. So it's going to be many, many things, many solutions for many people.
Reminds me of the breakup of AT&T.
A little bit, yeah.
Sam Grobart, again, is personal technology editor for the New York Times. And our next caller is Scott. Join us. You're on the air, Scott.
Morning, guys. I've got two daughters, and my wife and I, we about 2 months ago, we just got rid of our televisions and our cable service, which was, I want to say, over $100. So we, you know, we had a huge savings there as far as we weren't really using. We were highly, you know, highly selective on cable. So now we get all of our media from Netflix and from Amazon and from iTunes. And I've just taught my girls how to access their shows in different ways. We mainly got rid of it because of all the commercials, but I have no problem with the increase in pay or in fees for increased selection, but we're kind of decreasing the amount of stuff that we watch because there's also other media options out there that kind of pull you away from shows or movies and stuff like that. So all of these options are kind of they're just diluting the need to watch movies and television sitcom shows and stuff like that. So just wanted to share that.
Yeah, I'm glad you did. Farhad Manjoo, actually, some of the comments that have been coming across in the social media and the blogs and on Facebook have been saying maybe this is time to get rid of your television set. I was surprised to see that in a number of instances.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's one option. It's just to react by pulling back you know, your media, what you're watching in general.
Watching on computers in general, I mean, as
yeah,
opposed
watching,
to... You know.
Yeah, watching on computers. I mean, I think that there's something about the experience of watching on TV that on a big screen on TV that people will continue to value. But, you know, I do this constantly. I'm watching on sort of various different devices, on my iPad, on my iPhone, and then just switching to the TV. I think that we all have kind of many screens now.
Here's a kind of basic question, Michael Olson. I'm deferring to your, again, self-description as a nerd from Bruce, who says, how does the streaming work? How many data centers do they have, and are the movies stored in hard drives? How many people can watch the same thing at the same time?
Yeah, that's a good question. As far as how many data centers they have and things like that, I don't know, but the bottom line is that the rights that they have for the content and the technology infrastructure that they have behind it enable them to stream to, you know, an effectively unlimited number of subscribers at one time. And I think that certainly that is a positive, but it's no different from what other, you know, other competitors in the space that might enter might have. The bigger kind of barrier is the content arrangements and the ability to get the content, but the technology infrastructure is not an issue.
Let me read a few more emails here. This is from a listener who says, I'm a current Netflix customer with a combination plan. The problem with streaming is the selection of second-rate movies. I can get the same quality from my public library for free. I was planning to cancel in September, and after the Netflix CEO's comments this morning, essentially, go ahead and cancel, you'll be back, I'm now planning to cancel today. Pedro writes, the outrage over the Netflix increase seems absurd to me. We, the consumers, are given the option of keeping our service or dropping it. I myself am a user and will probably change my plan to only streaming since I hardly used the DVD service. I'm not upset. I'm simply changing the plan for what works best for me and their new pricing structure. I cannot blame a company from trying to make a profit for a service which I choose to use. And Karen says, I've been cheerleading Netflix for a long time. At the same time, I knew that a good thing could never be true when it comes to a subscription service delivered by a telco. I pay over $16 per month for over a year, a price that has steadily risen over the years. I get DVDs and sometimes watch streaming, but I'm a pretty light user of the service that continues to rise in price. What about consumption-based pricing, like the rest of cloud providers are looking at? This is pretty infuriating, actually, just like a cable company. Let me go to more of your calls, and we'll go to Juan. Thanks for waiting, Juan. Join us. You're on the air.
Hi. I'm just concerned about the quality of the streaming. It just doesn't seem like the streaming of Netflix that Netflix offers is good enough. It's not really HD quality or even near Blu-ray. And as far as Netflix, also the subtitles, there are not enough devices that offer subtitles and not enough titles that offer subtitles on the streaming. And for someone like me that comes from a foreign country and trying to catch up on the language throughout the years, subtitles really played a big part on learning English and all this stuff. So it seems like you're no longer getting the value for what you're paying.
Juan, I appreciate your comments. And Sam Grobart, let me go back to you on this. The quality of streaming has come up a number of times, but we're hearing now about subtitles involved.
Well, I'm not sure what Netflix's plans with subtitles are at this point. However, it's very clear that the company is going to be making a lot of money in the future internationally. And they've talked about that, particularly going into Latin America and other parts of the world. So it's quite possible that with a more international base, they'll be providing multilingual options. And there'd be no reason not to provide that across the board globally to any customer who wants it wherever they may be.
If I can go back to you, Michael Olson, this is from Anthony, who says, you mentioned the ISP companies gearing up to potentially change their pricing structure based on amount of bandwidth used. This is the real issue, I think, as the ISP companies such as Comcast are direct competitors of Netflix and will do what they can to reduce the use of Netflix, but they're also the gatekeepers as the providers of Internet. Is Netflix going to eventually become an ISP?
I think the answer to that is no, but I do think that there is an interesting competitive dynamic underway here. As described, Comcast ultimately providing VOD and similar offerings that in the end competes with Netflix is an issue. And I think the most likely kind of long-term scenario here is that while cord cutting isn't happening to a great degree today, that longer term the percent of revenue that Comcast or other internet service providers get from you each month that's coming from your TV subscription will decline as you look at alternative options like Netflix or Amazon On Demand or Hulu or whatever, and the amount that they'll charge you for internet will go higher based on either usage-based pricing or just general price increases. And I think that's probably how it's going to play out over time. When I think about, kind of the average cable plus internet subscription today, it's maybe, $120, $130, and say it's $120, $40 of that is internet and $80 is cable TV. I think that's just going to kind of switch over time and the Comcast of the world become more of just the internet delivery pipes and less of the content provider as you shift to more of these alternative content sources.
And again, you're listening to Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. Dan is our next caller. Dan, you're on. Good morning.
Hi. I am CEO of a company called Forum that provides a different kind of content than Netflix does. It's a subscription streaming site. And I believe that consumers for a long time have wanted to bundle their own choices. I mean, that's a complaint that people have had about cable. And I think what Netflix is doing is basically encouraging consumers to do their own bundling.
Sam Grobart.
Yes, well, I think that's true. I do think, however, that right now asking consumers to do their own bundling for some can be somewhat onerous. Many people are still comfortable with, you know, they might find the pricing to be a bit exorbitant coming out of their cable operator, but nevertheless, it's a simple transaction that gives them basically what they need. And then there's another group of people who certainly want to do away with that. I don't think there are many people who are fans of cable companies and would love to be able to ditch them, or at least ditch portions of that bundle and kind of, again, as we've discussed, create this new hodgepodge of services. And that's going to continue to change over time as one of those populations increases and the other decreases.
Has there been pressure in Congress for an a la carte model, Sam Grobart?
That's been brought up before. I believe, in fact, I think John McCain at one point was a big proponent of that. There's an interesting thing about a la carte pricing, which is that a lot of cable channels rely on bundling. And, you know, if you made everything a la carte, you would see many cable channels might not have enough subscribers to survive. And so there's a very kind of big question here about how content is created. It's expensive, and it can't all just be done with a handheld camera and, you know, iMovie, let's say. And so if you do want to have the continued production of professional content, who's going to pay for that? And what's going to be the model? And at this point, nobody's really quite sure.
Let me just read a couple more web comments since we're coming to the end of the hour here. Here's Colin, who says, I'm hard of hearing and captions are not available on streaming except for foreign films. So I watch foreign films on streaming and English language films on DVD. Also, many DVDs have extras that are not available on streaming movies. And Noel from San Jose says, I've gone back to Blockbuster. Their availability is much better and pricing plan much better. Netflix is not a customer-friendly company. The streaming selection is lousy and downloads unpredictable. Doubling the price for their bad selection is ridiculous and charging extra for Blu-ray. Blockbuster is a better customer-friendly company. Well, we've heard so many different comments this hour, and I want to thank our guests, Farhad Manjoo, technology columnist for Slate, and Michael Olson, senior research analyst for Piper Jaffray, and Sam Grobart, personal technology editor for The New York Times. Thanks to you, our listeners, and thanks to our senior editor, Dan Zoll, and our producers, Kevin Guillory, Judy Campbell, and Tina Larberg. Our engineer is Danny Bringer, and our interns are Majgan Rostegar, Nathan Falk, Arjun Singh, Katie Fleeman, and Natalie Rothfels. I'm Michael Krasny.
For the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation in honor of Louise and Claude Rosenberg.